Hi, it's Alan Chartok in the Congressional Corner. I'm here with one of my favorite people in the world, Congressman Peter Welch. Peter Welch is a Democrat from Vermont, of course. He's the only one. He's the only congressman in Vermont. You've been supporting Bernie Sanders all along, Peter. Sanders is doing well. I mean, he's in the top three, but he seems to be discounted in relation to Elizabeth Warren's progress. And maybe that's a media thing. What do you think?
Well, I think two things. One, this is not the 2016 race. Bernie is doing extremely well in two respects. I think, number one, many of the issues that he campaigned on have now become widely embraced by most of the candidates, and they're debating his issues on health care, on affordability of higher education. Secondly, he's in a competitive race with other people who are advocating his progressive points of view, so it's not just him against Hillary. And that just creates a totally new dynamic. And there's no question that Elizabeth Warren is doing extremely well and I think is competing with Sanders for a lot of the progressive members of the party. So, yeah, this is a real race. Bernie's in it. Top three, Biden, Warren, Bernie. So this is a race that's going to continue for quite a while.
Peter Welch, I keep thinking about the idea that Bernie and Elizabeth Warren are the progressivists, if there is such a word, in all of this. And, you know, Biden is the moderate. If you take the two, number two and number three in the polls, they easily outrank him. Do you think about that at all?
I do. I mean, what you're seeing is that the real issue here, you know, whether progressive or moderate, there's still something that cuts across through what Biden is talking about, Bernie and Warren are talking about. And that is this, that we have to have a government that is much more active and engaged on behalf of helping build and sustain the middle class. The Republican approach is basically to say government has no role. It has no role to deal with student debt. It has no role to improve affordability and access to health care. It really has no role to deal with climate change. And all of the Democratic members of the campaign are aggressively advocating a much more significant role for government to play in public policy. And the details of that, whether it's the Medicare for All approach that Bernie's advocating or the Medicare buy-in that Biden and others are advocating, there's a real gap between what they're talking about that is better for American people versus what Trump is talking about. So there's a lot of room to come together at the end of the day because we know, bottom line, we've got to beat Trump.
You know, every morning on our panel on WAMC, we talk about all the travesties that are coming out of the Trump administration. And every morning, the people on the panel say, yeah, yeah, this is terrible, and this is terrible, and this is terrible. And yet, I keep asking them, and I ask you now, what should we be doing now? Specifically, what should we be doing?
Well, I think there's two things. One, I want to acknowledge that people are dismayed because we've never seen a president, whether it's a Republican or Democrat, who has vilified American citizens on the basis of their religion or the basis of their ethnicity or used terminology like Mexicans or rapists or has snubbed long-term allies, you know, basically using a national security threat to justify tariffs on Canada as though they're a threat to us. So what is so alarming, I think, as I talk to Vermonters and just people I see along the way, it's like the norms that we rely on, the guardrails of democracy, those are under assault by President Trump. He just has no respect for them. But secondly, what should we do? I think each of us, where we are, should do everything we can to try to revitalize and strengthen those norms. So here in Congress, in the House, where we have a working majority, we're passing legislation, you know, to get back in the Paris Climate Accords, to have gun safety legislation and background checks. You know, we get frustrated because we pass it in the House and it goes to the just say no Mitch McConnell-led Senate. But the bottom line is we've got to do what we can where we are, even if it's just building a foundation for after the next election. And people back home, they've got to do what they can in their local communities, and that's where a lot of the leadership is coming, and that's where I get a lot of the hope that sustains me down here. So So hang in. That's my message to people. Hang in. We'll get through this.
Well, yes, we can either get through it or American democracy can be ruined.
Well, that's right. And that's what's so really dangerous about it and dismaying to people, because the norms are not being being followed. You know, you've got a president now who, in addition to disregarding our allies, showing enormous disrespect for others on the basis of their religion or their ethnicity, enormous disrespect for science, and then stonewalling Congress, acting as though it's not a co-equal branch of government and not providing witnesses or documents to allow for oversight. We've not seen that before by any kind of president, Republican or Democrat. And it means that all the things we used to have legitimate expectation, mutual respect, separation of powers, those things they're really being challenged by this president. So it is a dangerous time, but we got to hang in.
I want to talk to you a little bit, we have a couple of minutes now, to talk about Saudi Arabia and what's going on with Iran. There is fear on the part of many that we're going to get ourselves into a war with Iran. What do you think?
Well, I'm extremely apprehensive about President Trump and his cozy relationship with Saudi Arabia. I mean, what he's talking about is protecting Saudi oil from in a country where 11 of the, 14 9/11 bombers came from Saudi Arabia, where Mohammed bin Salman executed and then had chopped up a Washington Post correspondent, where we, the United States, are providing aid and comfort, refueling to the Saudi government as it carpet bombs children, schools, hospitals, weddings in Yemen. I mean, this is absurd, to be having Saudi Arabia essentially have enough influence on the president. There's some possibility that our men and women in uniform would be sent into war with Iran to protect Saudi oil. It's outrageous.
Do you think that this president has any appetite, could really get us into a war with Iran?
My sense of President Trump is he does not want war, but he doesn't know how to act in a smart way to necessarily avoid it. I mean, he's doing things like ripping up the Iran agreement, acting as though all he has to do is do maximum pressure with more sanctions, when in fact it's not working. I mean, there's a lot of disruption. Iran is responding. You know, the seizure of tankers. Now it's reported that the strike on the Saudi facility came from Iran. That's the report in the newspapers. I mean, what President Trump is doing is making things less stable, not more stable. And the other part about this is the Trump administration has eroded our relationship with allies when we need them. You know, there was something significant about having Russia and China in the European Union with us on the Iran nuclear deal, and Trump tore that up, and essentially also tore up the relationships and the alliances we had with partners who had a similar goal to us in non-nuclear Iran and peace in the Middle East, so that we have to do it alone, and it's harder to accomplish that when you don't have the strength of strong alliances.
Peter Welch, I take it you had a good summer, but back to work. But for you guys, you got to work all the time, don't you?
Well, the summer was really wonderful. I spent, of course, you know, I don't know, August in Vermont. Where else would one want to be? Maybe upstate New York, but it was so
maybe
beautiful.
Maybe in Western Massachusetts.
And, well, that's true, but it was a great summer. And what I really like doing when I have that time at home for that extended district period is just get around Vermont. You know, down to Bennington, down to Springfield, up to Burlington, talk to folks at Creamy Stands, and do my errands, and just reconnect just in a very low-key way with Vermonters. And a lot of the things we've been talking about are things that I heard Vermonters expressing, you know, just dismay at what's happening to our democracy, just dismay that we're not plunging in to address climate change, and we're acting as though it's not a problem. But it's a time of enormous renewal and restores my love for Vermont and the people that I represent.
Peter Welch, we love talking to you, and we hope that when we come back the next time, we can do some more.
We can.